Welcome to the Pulse That Moves the Triangle World Today. This one-size-fits-all broadcast is a vibrant collection of stories, medical breakthroughs, helpful tips, what's trending, events, and boundless other adventures. It's a conversation pit of comedians, politicians, authors, chefs, sports figures, experts, the common and the uncommon. Here's the host of Triangle 411, Mary Innsbrucker.
Hi, friends. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. This time of year, my mind fills with thoughts of family gatherings. Boy, we had some good ones. At one point in time, when all the fam lived nearby, there would be about 40 of us just playing the day away. And the food, mouth-watering everything, was the day's adjective, except, of course, for the green beans. I hate green beans. But I made sure to take a spoonful of them, even though I didn't like them, just so I did not hurt Aunt Patty's feelings. I thank God there was always enough food and camaraderie. But for many, that is not the case. For some, holidays and everydays are filled with hunger and an appetite for companionship that goes unquenched. This is where we should all give thanksgiving for Meals on Wheels of Wake County, which is hosting their Let's Do Lunch fundraiser November 18th. event.gives/wakeMOW. Audrey Edmiston is a volunteer for the Meals on Wheels of Wake County, and she is here to tell us about her volunteer role with the organization and her role at the Department of Health and Human Services as the aging specialist with the North Carolina Division of Aging and Adult Services. Welcome, Audrey.
Hi, it's great to be here.
First, let's talk about your experience as a volunteer with Meals on Wheels. Can you tell us your most memorable encounter as a volunteer?
Sure. I have been volunteering with Meals on Wheels in Wake County for about 20 years. And for the last 15 years, I've been doing the same meals route. It's called the Peach Route. And that route is in a historically African-American neighborhood in Southeast Raleigh, kind of a low-income area. But a lot of our Meals on Wheels participants have lived there for years and raised their families. So it's been a real fun experience for me to get to know them over the years. In North Carolina, and it's true for this meals route, the Peach Route, that about 70% of our home delivery meal participants live alone, and most of them are women. So that's the type of person I see on the Peach Route. Mm-hmm. One person I've gotten to know on that route is just a lovely lady, and she lives by herself. And I typically do the meal route on Fridays. So I was going around delivering meals, and I got to her door and knocked on the door. And usually she's pretty quick to answer with a smile, but it was taking her a while to get to the door. I could hear her in there, but she typically locks the door. So I waited and knocked and waited and knocked, and she finally came, but she was kind of dazed and confused and kind of sweaty. I could tell something was wrong with her. So I was trying to coach her to unlock the door so I could get in there and check on her. And long story short, she is a diabetic. Because I would typically go in and we'd visit for a little bit, and I'd put the meal down on her kitchen table, and I could see her insulin and different things on the table. So I had assuming she was going into some kind of diabetic shock. So I called 911. And we also called, all of our participants have emergency contact people. So we also contacted that person. And she ended up being okay. Her blood sugar had dropped to about 50, and she was indeed, you know, confused and having some issues, and they had to take her to the hospital, but she was okay. But it was just scary because I knew her, and I was visiting on a Friday, and she lived alone. what if no one had come to deliver the meal that day? You know, what would have happened to her? We deliver meals during the weekday, or not on the weekend. So just scary, you know, another impact of our program is not just that we're delivering that meal, but sometimes we're the only people they see all day. So that really hit it home for me, the impact of our program.
I can see why. My goodness. And thank goodness you were able to react and pick up on things and so forth. So, and that's kind of what I want to talk about next, because there's a lot going on with some of the clients that you serve. So first, psychologically, and as a specialist with the Department of Aging and Adult Services, what psychological implications are going on for folks in need of services like Meals on Wheels?
Well, for Meals on Wheels, we, you know, providing that meal has a huge nutritional impact, but we know that, again, we're the only people that a lot of these people see every day. So just making that social connection to them, someone that they trust, they can count on us to be there every day. We also are quick to provide those community resources, trying to get them linked up with whether it's food stamps or assistance with the heat or whatever. Because, again, we know most of our participants are low income. Over half of them say that our meal that we provide at lunch is over half the food they eat for the whole day. So they really are the type of people that are having to choose between the medicine or paying the heat bill or the food. So psychologically, I think we do have a huge impact on them, our program.
And you mentioned social, and, you know, the social isolation is just like for everybody right now, but, you know, with the whole COVID-19 situation. But I imagine for these folks, it's just like off the charts.
Yeah, I really feel like we are seeing the impact of that. So they're not that typically they are pretty homebound, but they might have friends come in or friends take them to the store, the beauty salon, or they would go out for church, or a family would stop in and just have some connection there or help them prepare a meal. And that's just not happening. So even when I'm going in now, I do feel like they might be a little more distant, not as connected. They look a little more disheveled just because they're not going to the beauty parlor or not bothering to get dressed for the day. So I do think that social isolation is definitely showing up during the pandemic.
So if you had to finish this sentence, what would you say? The sentence is, the gift of Meals on Wheels is...
I think we help them maintain their dignity by allowing them to stay independent in their home, providing that meal, giving them that safety check and that social connection. So maintaining their dignity.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I don't think a lot of people think of that aspect. They think it's just a meal. And as you've told us about your experiences, we've learned it's much more than food. So thanks for being here and sharing that with us.
Well, thank you.
What is the nitty-gritty of Meals on Wheels of Wake County, an organization that is about to turn the corner on serving their 10 millionth meal in 2021? Well, here to answer that question is Mary Kate Keith, Director of Development and Communications for Meals on Wheels of Wake County. Welcome, Mary Kate.
Hi, thanks for having us, Mary.
So give us a brief overview of Meals on Wheels.
So Meals on Wheels of Wake County was established in 1974 by a small group of citizens from Raleigh, and it was part of a wave of senior services that began with the passage of the Older Americans Act, which provided funding for home-delivered and congregate meals for seniors in need. So on that first day in 1974, they delivered 9 meals, and today we deliver almost 1,400 meals to local senior citizens. Last year, we served 372,000 meals.
Wow. So you have three primary areas of service, and I want to talk about them one at a time. Let's start with the daily delivery to homebound seniors.
Sure. So in normal times, we deliver a hot, ready-to-eat, noontime meal every Monday through Friday. Approximately 1,000 meals are delivered directly to the homes of our homebound seniors by a volunteer driver. And to qualify for the program, the senior must be homebound, which is unable to drive to shop or prepare meals for themselves. And this is primarily due to a physical or cognitive disability. For many of our clients, this meal represents about half of what they might have on a given day, and the volunteer who delivers may be the only person that they see in that day. So this daily check-in with a volunteer is really important to their health and safety. We have about 110 or so routes throughout Wake County to deliver to, and each route may have from 6 to 12 clients to deliver.
Interesting. Now, is there any income requirements, guidelines?
No, there is no requirement. The majority of our clients do live at or below the poverty level, so that's the kind of situation that they're in, but there's no requirement.
Okay. Meals on Wheels of Wake also supplies daily meal service to 8 congregate dining rooms in Wake County. How does that work?
So for seniors who are 60 and older and who are still able to get out and about, we serve lunch at 8 dining rooms in Wake County every Monday through Friday. These dining rooms are in Gardner, Morrisville, Wake Forest, Hewcrave Arena, Wendell, and there's 3 in Raleigh. So typically these dining rooms are part of a larger senior center where the clients can also participate in the activities that are offered at the center. And then they have lunch with the Meals on Wheels group. So seniors interested in this just need to apply in advance and then make a reservation for the days that they plan to come and eat at that center. And we do serve about 300 to 400 seniors daily at those dining rooms.
I imagine that's nice because that provides a little social end to the, so not just food, but social.
Yeah. It's great. A lot of the centers have different types of clubs and activities, so they can do exercise, line dancing. The one group has a very active group of ladies that do jewelry making. So there really is a lot there for them to participate in and explore some maybe things that they've always loved or try some new kind of tasks and hobbies.
Great. Now, lastly, you also offer a weekly frozen meal delivery to certain clients.
The frozen meal program is for a relatively small segment of our clients, about 200 or so. They receive a once-a-week delivery of 5 frozen meals. So these clients may live in remote areas of the county that don't have established routes going to them. Some of them also have specific medical needs, like, for example, a dialysis patient who cannot be home at a regular time to receive the meals like Monday through Friday. But they do get that once-a-week delivery of 5 frozen meals, and then they can heat up those meals when they're ready to eat them.
Wow. It sounds like Meals on Wheels has all the bases covered. My goodness, this is great.
Yeah, we hope so. Yeah.
So the price tag for all this is covered through a combination of public and private funding, with some public funding coming through the Older Americans Act. As far as private funding, what are we talking about?
So our private funding comes mainly from, obviously, in Wake County, individuals, faith communities, businesses, and foundations, both private foundations and then foundations affiliated with larger corporations and businesses. About 45% of our annual operating budget comes from private funding, and our goal for this year for private funding is just over $1.3 million.
Interesting. Now, you know, here we go, that ugly monster again, the coronavirus. It has affected this funding, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it has also influenced your delivery service. What has that meant in terms of client service?
Well, since April, we had to drastically change our delivery model. Keeping the health and safety of our clients and volunteers, drivers, is really our top concern. So now we deliver a box of shelf-stable grocery items, enough for 5 meals, every Tuesday. And while it's not ideal, it was a very necessary precaution to take. Our congregate dining rooms are also closed for the foreseeable future, so the clients who ate at those centers are also able to get those grocery boxes from us as well. And we have to face it. It is tough on the people who have relied on us for that hot daily meal. It also limits their socialization. But we are doing the best we can to, you know, get them the nutrition that they need and at least a once-a-week visit with someone. Our staff also calls the clients on a more regular basis just to make sure that things at home are still okay, or and if they need any extra resources or other agencies they may need help from, we can get that information to them as well.
Oh, so that sounds like a great plan. I mean, everybody's had to get very creative during COVID.
And, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to hear that you're, again, I'm really big about the social, as you can see, along with food. Believe me, I can eat my share of food. You know, I like that you're still having the calls going in, because I was just talking to Audrey and she was explaining how one time she visited someone who was actually ill and was lucky she touched base with her. So that's great. And just as Meals on Wheels has rose to address these kinds of issue, they are also handling the huge challenge the nonprofit sector is facing overall, which is no in-person fundraising events. So they've morphed their annual Let's Do Lunch event into a virtual experience. Good news is it's free and there is plenty of seating. And the highlight will be keynote speaker Dr. Mandy Cohen, Secretary of the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, addressing the issues of senior hunger and isolation and how the community can help through programs like Meals on Wheels. But Mary Kate, there's more to it. Tell us what else participants can expect.
Yes, so the guests who sign up will expect an informative and fast-paced hour. So in addition to remarks from Dr. Cohen, our board president, Catherine Wood, and another board member and volunteer, Joe Serbalis, will also offer remarks about the importance of our program and how it helps the lives of our clients. We're also going to show a brief Meals on Wheels video and then launch into the fundraising section of the virtual event where guests will have a chance to donate to our cause. And we're so grateful to our event sponsors, particularly our presenting sponsor, First Horizon, for helping us put on this virtual event. All guests need to do is, prior to noon on November 18th, they need to log into event.give/wakemo, and it's free to log in and listen. So we do hope that people will take advantage of the opportunity to hear Dr. Cohen and all about Meals on Wheels.
Okay, and this is cool. You received a $15,000 challenge grant from the Stewards Fund of Raleigh. Explain how folks can take advantage of this to increase the impact of their donations.
Yes, we're very grateful to the Stewards Fund of Raleigh for offering this one-to-one match for dollars raised during the virtual event. It's a great way to double the impact of your donation. So you'll hear when you log in and listen, you'll hear all about that and you'll be able to donate and know that any gift will be doubled.
Yes. Thank you to the Stewards Fund. Now, if I could interject something here too that I'd like folks out there listening to kind of remember and put in their mind, is a lot of companies have matching programs for charitable giving. So check your company, because a lot of people don't even know about it. And check your husband's company or your wife's company or whatever, because sometimes they will extend the match even if you're not the employee. And there you go. Your $100 donation becomes $200. Your $500 donation becomes $1,000 if your company or a spouse's company participate. So make sure you check in on that. And something else exciting is your raffle. Now, golfers are going to love this one.
Yes. So we're going to be offering a fantastic Pinehurst getaway to raffle during the virtual event. And it's a one-night stay for two at the Pinehurst Resort, which includes the room, a dinner, breakfast, and a $300 gift card that you can use at the resort for golf or the spa or any other amenities that they might be offering at Pinehurst. And the site is open now, so you can purchase your raffle tickets for $25 each, and the winner will be drawn at the end of the virtual event on November 18th. And again, you just go to event.give/wakemo, purchase your ticket.
There you go. So it's important everybody knows you don't have to wait till November 18th. You can go ahead and donate now or get those raffle tickets now. So one way or another, get to that event.gives/wakemow. Well, Mary Kate, thanks so much for being here and for all Meals on Wheels of Wake County does.
Well, thanks so much, Mary. We really appreciate this opportunity to tell you about our program and our first ever virtual event. And we're looking forward to a great activity on the 18th, and hope you can all join us. Thank you.
Let me close with one final note. And this does not come from me. It comes from Loretta, age 71, who has been receiving meals since July 2014. Loretta says, "I would really starve if I did not have Meals on Wheels. It means everything to me. The meals are a large part of my daily meal intake, and since I can't drive, I cannot get out to the store. I just can't imagine if I did not have it." Can you imagine being lonely and hungry? Let's do lunch November 18, event.gives/WakeMOW. Well, it's time to high five and say goodbye. Along with all the other podcast platforms out there, Triangle 411 has made it onto Pandora and Amazon Music. So now all you have to do is say, "Alexa, play podcast Triangle 411, and you will be able to hear what a Victorian house has to say, tips for becoming happy, and how Survivor Corps is working to eradicate COVID-19. I'm Mary Innsbrucker for Triangle 411. Today, give generously.